This is an ABC Radio National podcast, and we have many more to choose from, which you can hear details about after this program. But right now, we hope you enjoy this podcast.
Welcome to Encounter on ABC Radio National. I'm Masako Fukui, and in today's program, we'll be exploring Japanese people's attitudes to religion.
Maybe I believe in souls. If you have a good soul, I think you can be happy. I'm always trying to be positive, and I'm always trying to be happy. And I think that makes my children happy and positive as well. That's what I believe. So not in the religious way, or that's my philosophy.
Most Japanese take part in all sorts of activities connected with Buddhist temples and Shinto shrines. But many people just see that not as religion, but as something to do with social customs and traditions and so on.
That's why they choose the religion by occasion, supermarket type of religion. If you need this one, and then you use this religion, you know. Maybe a good point is the just accepting everything equally. That's a good point of Japanese tradition.
At first glance, Japan seems to be a country rich in cultural traditions. Indeed, the Japanese calendar is full of events dedicated to celebrating such traditions, but many of these events are actually religious. The famous summer festival Obon, for example, is Buddhist, and like All Saints' Day, celebrates the return of ancestral spirits with a visit to the family grave and festive dancing in the streets. Then there's the popular Shichigo-san, a Shinto rite of passage for children when they turn 3, 5, or 7 years of age, and this ceremony is held in a shrine with the obligatory photo in traditional Japanese dress. And while just about everyone participates in these community-based festivities, most of the same Japanese participants will also claim to be not religious. In fact, denial of religious belief seems to be the predominant attitude to religion in Japan. So, what's behind this denial? Today's Encounter program, called No Religion Please, We're Japanese, will attempt to answer this question. We'll hear from Japanese people living in Australia, and we'll also ask, if religion and tradition are so tightly interwoven into the cultural fabric, how do Japanese Australians maintain or hand down culture, living so far away from the temples or shrines, which are the principal sites of expression of many of these traditions? And if it isn't religion, what's at the core of Japanese spirituality?
My name is Maki Kono, and I came to Australia in 1995. I met my husband here and have two children. When I was little, there was a church near my house, and there was a kids' Sunday school. And there was a Japanese and Norwegian couple. They're the missionaries. So I used to go there on Sunday because they always gave us cookies, biscuits from Europe. And
so you went to Sunday school?
Sunday school for a while, a couple of years. So I used to know the sentences from the Bible. But my grandmother was also religious, but she was Buddhist, and also it's funny, she went to Buddhist temple, and she also went to the Shinto shrine as well, but she was a very religious lady, so I knew that all options were, but I didn't choose any because I was not interested.
But you went to Sunday school?
There was an English lesson, free English lesson. That's what I want to do.
So you went to Sunday school for the English and the cookies, but not for the religion?
No.
Why not for the religion? Do you have an aversion? Do you not?
No, I was just not interested in it. Even when I was a child, I was not a very serious person because I didn't think about what would happen when we die, or I was always interested in food, sports, playing with friends and English in school, so...
Medeta, medeta no wakamatsu sama yo.
Maki's approach to religion is pretty common among Japanese. Her lack of interest in Christianity didn't stop her going to Sunday school, and she claims to be not religious, even though she continues to participate in Buddhist festivals like Obon, when people visit their ancestral grave, or Ohaka.
And I still go to Ohaka when I go back to Japan.
What do you do? Do you worship your ancestors? Is that what you would say?
Yeah, my grandfather. I've never met him.
So what do you do?
Just pay your respects and bows and, yeah, put some nice flowers.
Incense,
yes.
And do you pray there?
A little bit, maybe 2 seconds. Just say hello.
Even though you've never met him?
Even though, yeah.
So where is he in your mind?
I don't know. Maybe his soul might be somewhere around.
Like Maki, Miwako Noonan is Japanese-Australian, married to Mike Noonan, and they have a 6-year-old boy. Also like Maki, Miwako claims not to be religious. Yet curiously, she prays every morning in front of a little sacred space she's created inside her crockery cabinet in her suburban Sydney home.
What do we have here? We have a display cabinet with some beautiful crockery.
Actually, I have a kamidana here from Shintoism, and I'm praying every morning.
So kamidana is a Shinto altar. What's there? Can you describe it for me?
It's just like 3 paper things which they believe some god power. And then I have to put some rice, salt, water every morning. And I just wish, you know, everyone's health and safety and... Every morning. If I don't do that, I feel it's like, oh, I didn't, you know.
That's very religious.
Yeah, I think so, recently. But I don't want to call it religion.
Why not?
I don't know. Because I never study about the Shintoism. For me, it's so natural. You shouldn't, like, cut the tree. You shouldn't kill, like, an insect if it's not necessary.
And do you pray sometimes... more if you're going through some stressful time, maybe your child's starting a new school or something?
Every morning, same. Yeah, just a short time. But I don't think it's religion.
I guess I'm asking is why you don't want to call it religion. Do you have a problem with the word religion?
If somebody call it religion, it's fine. But if somebody ask me, maybe I believe, I don't feel it's my religion. Like a bank. I go to Japan, and then I saw the shrine. I'm not going to go there, particularly to pray. I just can't ignore everything.
I think particularly in Japan, it's very hard to separate out the old historical religious traditions of Shinto and Buddhism, which were very much embedded in people's everyday lives. And I think to some extent they still are. So people can have a Buddhist altar to their ancestors in their house and they can pray at it every day. And then they might still say, but we're not religious, because they don't see themselves as being formally committed to one particular religious tradition.
Professor Ian Reeder, lecturer in Japanese studies at Manchester University in England.
If you do surveys of Japanese and you ask them if they're religious, you tend to get about 25% saying, yes, we're religious, and the rest saying, no, we're not religious. Yet when you ask them the next question, do you go to the shrine at New Year to pray to the gods, that 80% or 90% say yes. If you ask them, do you go to the Buddhist temple in August to take part in the Obon ceremonies for the ancestors, 70-80% say yes.
But these visiting the shrine, going to the Buddhist temple, that would be called religion anywhere else, right?
We would tend to say that, but of course, even in the West now, it's quite common to have a funeral in a church or something. It doesn't necessarily mean the person being buried or the family is religious. It's a custom.
But in Japan, so much of Japanese tradition is religious-based.
The kind of imprint of the agricultural calendar, which is very closely tied up with the religious calendar, I think is still very strong in Japan. On such and such a day, it is the ritual that you do things in this way. And I think part of that is also because Japan has had to deal with the incoming of lots of Western influences and so on. And in a sense, that underlying tradition of the ritual and the calendar, I think that has remained very, very strong because it is, again, a very powerful marker of identity. It's where people say, this is where we are special, we're different, this is where we're Japanese.
What makes the religious landscape different is the syncretic and non-exclusive nature of religion in Japan. It's a melting pot of primarily Confucian, Buddhist, and Shinto ideas that have been part of Japan for centuries, Buddhism from the 6th century, for example. So it's often said that the Japanese celebrate festive days at a Shinto shrine, a wedding in a Christian church, and end with a funeral in a Buddhist temple.
We talk about how Japanese people can both go to a Shinto shrine and a Buddhist temple and they don't see a conflict there. There's almost a seamless weaving of different traditions of Shinto and Buddhism. But then when you get to what different groups, religious groups are saying, there are also conflicts, and there are like new religious groups that pose very different perspectives on society and so on.
Buddhism and Confucianism came from China, but Shinto is indigenous to Japan. It has animistic elements and reveres the mystical power in humans, animals, and natural phenomena, such as wind, thunder, even fertility. Unlike Buddhism, Christianity, or Islam, Shinto has no founder, no all-powerful god, no prophets, or even a scripture. In its place is a mythology that has close links with Japanese nationalism and identity, and for this reason is both core and controversial. But we'll come back to that later in the program. So the eclectic nature of religion and the fact that Shinto has no doctrine means being religious in Japan is not quite the same as in Australia. In fact, part of the reason why Japanese deny being religious is because the idea of religion is seen as a Western construct that came to Japan with Christianity, according to Associate Professor Jun Isomae at the International Research Center for Japanese Studies in Kyoto, Japan.
So for Japanese religious, means Christianity terminology. So the connotation from religion means for Japanese, it's a Protestant usage. It's quite different from Catholic usage or folklore usage or mythological usage. Japanese people cannot understand religion as belief. It is very easy to understand for Japanese the religion as a kind of custom or habitus, practice. We should say religious practice, not religious belief. They don't understand why we practice Obon ceremony. Also, we know that one reason the ancestor soul come back to our house. But we don't believe such a religious belief or doctrine. So that we cannot understand why we love to participate Obon.
On ABC Radio National, you're listening to Encounter, and the program today is called No Religion, Please, We're Japanese. This distinction between practice and belief is crucial to understanding the nature of religious behavior in Japan. But if belief doesn't motivate practice, what does? What makes people want to participate in Shichigo-san, for example, the Shinto rite of passage for children? I pose this question to Miwako Nunun.
For Shichigo-san, I'm not sure what's the real purpose to do, but for me, it's big relief.
Miwako claims that participating in this Shinto ritual, which involves a ceremony for her son at a shrine in Japan and very expensive ceremonial clothes, is for her own peace of mind. Celebrating Shichigo-san gives Miwako assurance that her son's health and welfare will be somehow protected. Similarly, like many Japanese people, Miwako carries a lucky charm or omamori, which you get from a shrine or temple. Her parents sent her the omamori from Japan every year, and by carrying the amulet, Miwako not only has peace of mind, but feels it's a way of showing appreciation to her parents back home for thinking of her and her family here in Australia.
Feels good, somebody thinking about him, thinking about me, and thinking about my husband. And that's what, just appreciation.
I remember when I was in high school, I bought one just before my exam.
And did you pass your exam?
Yes, I did.
This idea of just getting omamori is amulets is very, very common worldwide. You'll see it in all sorts of different cultures, getting talismans, lucky charms and so on. It's a kind of cultural thing, but it's got ties into religion. I mean, you wouldn't be carrying that omamori if it were just a souvenir bought from a shop somewhere. It's got some significance.
Yes, it's perhaps power, mystical power.
It's also that big question that we all face of what if, you know, the famous Japanese phrase, Kurushi toki no kami danomi, you know, turn to the gods at times of distress.
But that's a very individualistic kind of...
It's not actually individual so much as what I call situational. You know, there isn't a notion, I don't think, in Japan that you can't go and pray at that place or get an amulet because you haven't been going regularly. You know, anybody can turn up at any time. It's very focused on context and situation.
And so it's a really cool way of looking at religion, isn't it? Because you don't really have to give that much. You can get whatever you want when you want
it. Well, on one level, it is a very relaxed way of looking at things. The other side of things, of course, is that there is a, theoretically at least, a contract with the kami or with the god deity that you're committing yourself to working hard. You know, if it works, then you have owe a debt of gratitude.
Professor Ian Reader. Reverend Shigenobu Watanabe is a priest of one of the biggest Buddhist sects in Japan, the True Pure Land Buddhist sect. He's been in Australia since the year 2000 as the minister and representative of the Honganji Buddhist Mission.
So as a Buddhist priest, is that a problem for you that Japanese people say they're Buddhist but they only practice when they want to?
Those who are accepting those the religion, I think, is still hopeful because they are trying to listen something. But those who are not really accepting anything, then that's difficult to, I think, preach.
If I haven't spent a lot of time trying to learn the way of the Buddha, but I'm open to it. Mm. So does that make me a good Buddhist or a bad Buddhist?
Our Buddha is called Amida Buddha. That's Buddha of infinite light and life, or wisdom and compassion. He's always trying to help each one of us, and whoever open their mind, they always have chance to be saved. So no worries.
It's kind of much more easygoing.
Yes, some people understand that way, and that made a little the misunderstanding. If you think, oh, I can do anything, and you know, whatever I do, Buddha is always helping me, and start thinking bad thing. That's a really extraordinary person who will not really listen to the deeper part of the teaching. Once you really know his compassion, they really feel the indebtedness or appreciation to Buddha, and we start thinking, because Amida is doing so much thing for each one of us, we try to repay whatever we can. That's our life of appreciation.
The Buddhist way of showing appreciation by incorporating acts of good into everyday life makes it easier to see Buddhist practice as simply humane rather than religious. And this partly explains why the Japanese might easily ignore or even deny their Buddhist affiliation. But with Shinto, it's another story altogether. Many people deny being Shinto because of its controversial nature. Professor Ian Reeder of the University of Manchester explains.
Shinto is obviously a very kind of ethnically Japanese tradition. It's all to do with legends and myths about the development and the creation of Japan. It's connected very strongly, I think, also with identity, so that a Japanese person, you know, with a little Shinto shrine who's living abroad is effectively saying, this is a part of my Japanese identity. But there is also another side to Shinto, which is closely connected with nationalism, with political structures that places the imperial family as descended from Amaterasu, the sun goddess, all those myths that have given Shinto, particularly in the 19th, early 20th century, a very powerful political nationalistic dimension. Now, of course, that's very controversial. It was part and parcel of Japan's militarism in the 1920s and 30s and 40s. The Asukuni Shrine in Tokyo, which is where the spirits of the war dead are enshrined, including some of the war criminals, that's been a constant point of conflict in Japan. I think people do have a concern about that side of Shinto and that image of Shinto, and therefore very often, particularly when they're overseas, I think too, would be keen to dissociate themselves from Shinto because they're aware that some aspects of Shinto have those very powerful nationalistic, militaristic connections.
A lot of people don't like to say they're religious, partly because of a controversy with Shinto. Is that a concern for you?
No, not really. The nearest religious place close to my house is a Shinto place. So I remember we used to go there on the New Year's Day or I just remember when you have dolls or teddy bears that you don't want, you can take them to the shrine. They pray and they burn the dolls for you, because Japanese people believe dolls and teddy bears have souls, lives in it, so they can't throw them away.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that too?
I don't know. I don't believe it, but I can't really just throw them away. I don't know, maybe from the childhood, it's a little bit scary for me to throw them away.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's me planted in my brain or something. I just can't do it.
You're listening to Encounter on ABC Radio National. I'm Masako Fukui, and today's program is about Japanese attitudes to religion. Northside Baptist Church in the suburb of Crow's Nest in Sydney. Every Sunday, Pastor Hiromitsu Hidome ministers to his congregation in both English and Japanese. Christianity began to have an impact in Japan around the 16th century. Japanese Christians have a history of persecution and subsequently tend to be a tight-knit group. About 1% of Japanese people are Christians. In this church, there are about 50 Japanese Christians, and some of their attitudes to religion are quite different from those we've heard so far from Maki or Miwako.
My name is Mami. Mami Mizushima is a surname. Yes, I have been to this church for about perhaps over, how many years? 15, 16, 17 years. I stopped counting. Yeah, since the inception, I have been coming to this church. I think Japanese people's, loving heart, really, thinking of other people rather than thinking of yourself. These are rooted in the Japanese religion and unique formation of the society. And I don't deny that. I don't denounce that. But a lot of them are supported by the religious notion. And people do that not because they love other people, but because they're afraid. They're scared if they don't do the right thing. If you are naughty, then God will strike a thunder upon you or something like that. Now I have met a real God, and then He has promised to me the eternal life. And that is a wonderful life, according to Bible.
For you once darkness,
and now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, the fruit of the light.
In this church in Sydney, both Japanese and non-Japanese pray together. But not all multilingual churches are as harmonious as this one, according to Associate Professor Jun Isomae, who recounts his experience in a Japanese-American evangelical church.
So I went to Christian church near Tokyo. They separate one church into Japanese section and American section. American Christian cannot understand the Japanese Christian religious motivation, so they gave up to continue work together to do service together with Japanese Christian. For American Christian, I asked them that they say Japanese Christian attitude is indigenized with Japanese religious tradition, not belief, religious tradition or religious custom. For the American Christian, the Japanese Christian attitude is not pure. For example, as you said, they go to Shinto Shrine January 1st, they go to Buddhist temple at a funeral service. So always the Japanese Christian in the church, almost their behavior is contaminated by the everyday life. Everyday life means custom, tradition.
What they're saying that's an impure thing. That it's
impure for American Christian.
Live as children of light. The fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord.
Actually, I was confronted with the one of my Australian friend, how the Japanese regard mixing up all different religions, because that was really unthinkable for them, I guess. For me, I just took it for granted that that was part of us, until I had a real faith in me and I started reading Bible, and the Bible clearly says you are separated people, separated in terms of sin to righteousness. So in order to do that, I need to be separated from all these cultural things that Japanese do, like Obon. When I was in Japan, I didn't know what it was about. It was just a summertime, a little pocket money, kimono, yukata, little dance. That was a fun memory. But when I realized that was religious activity, then I could not, you know, do it anymore. I can no longer enjoy. Perhaps I'm one of the very vocal Japanese Christian who would oppose to those activities. Not because I was told I mustn't, but because I just can't enjoy it anymore. So I don't miss them.
Does that cause problems with your family or with other Japanese people here?
My father's side in Japan, they were all impressed with the our faith that we have in Jesus. They said, oh, Japanese people believe just a little bit of this and just a little bit of that, and they don't stand for their faith, but you do. So, you know, they said, oh, tell me more about it. I certainly teach my children, these are the activities Japanese do. Maybe I can fold up the little origami to make some object, or maybe wear the kimono at home, take a photo perhaps, but we don't celebrate these things.
お酒飲みだったのがクリスチャンになってお酒も飲まなくなってガラッと変わった。
Mommy's dilemma arises because she's Japanese, not because she's Christian. In Japan, many cultural practices are in fact religious, and this ambiguity means Mommy avoids aspects of Japanese culture to stay true to her faith, which requires her to be exclusively Christian. Like Mami, Miwako Noonan and her Australian husband Mike don't observe many Japanese cultural traditions with their 6-year-old son Ken. But in their case, it's because they're both not religious.
When you're teaching your children about morality or what's right and wrong, often people say, well, God is watching you, or you'll be punished, or you won't go to heaven. What do you say to your child, your son, when you don't have moral rules that are religious-based?
He went to the preschool, which Anglican church had, and then he learned some Christianity from them, and then now he go to that school, which belong to Baptist church. And then I'm happy he learned that kind of things from school. And then I'm teaching him based on what they're teaching in school.
Morals are found everywhere. It doesn't matter which religion you look at. They all have morals. And it's kind of interesting that the moral standard is not that dissimilar throughout any religions. We all know that it's wrong to steal, to kill, to do other things like that. But that does not necessarily make one a Christian or a Buddhist or anything else. So I think we all, most responsible people, want to bring their children up in some moral environment. And we do that. And my wife has a very strong view of morals.
When I was growing up, the sorts of things that we were taught had to do with our ancestors, which is not really part of Christianity. Do you still talk about those things at home to him?
No. He believed after he died, he got to heaven. And I never said anything about that. And I'm just following what he said. Yeah.
Where do you think you'll go after you die?
I have no idea. I think maybe heaven in the west.
Isn't it possible that your son is going to grow up with very little of the sort of Shinto cultural rituals, the Buddhist festivals? Is that going to be a problem, do you think?
I don't think so. It's up to him. If he, one day, if he said he doesn't want to go to any temple or shrine, that's fine.
I've been practicing karate for the last 27 or 28 years, and Ken is participating in things like that, which I believe is very culturally Japanese. So I won't say that he's going to miss out.
So you're a karate teacher, right? So is that teaching spirituality in a way?
Discipline and a certain morality and so forth doesn't... I don't feel it to be a spiritual thing, although some people do, and like most things in Japan, it doesn't matter whether it's work or karate or sports. There will be some type of religious implication there in terms of Shintoism or Buddhism or... It's definitely not just sport. It continually challenges you and to dig deeper in your understanding of even just the technical aspects. Yes, you learn discipline, and I must admit that I think some things that I've been able to achieve outside of karate are a direct result of some of the lessons I've learnt doing it. So, yes, people's characters do develop because they're put through very, you know, like a hard training and... That doesn't necessarily mean it's spiritual to me. It's just part of being a human being.
Up. Stretch, Ken. Back straight, head up. Arm straight, finger stretch. Down.
Maki Kono is married to a Japanese man and has a 6-year-old girl and 10-year-old boy. How does Maki manage to transmit Japanese cultural traditions to her children who were born in Australia?
So, what is it like bringing up Japanese children in Australia? Are there a lot of things you can do to teach them about Japanese culture?
Maybe like every day before we eat, we say itadakimasu. That means we appreciate getting the life, because Japanese people think everything has a life. So like just the grain of rice has a life. That's what my grandmother told me when I was little. Or chicken or fish or whatever, or even vegetables. So I always telling my kids to finish all the rice, because my grandmother used to say one grain of rice has 12 gutters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what my grandmother used to say. So you can't leave any, you can't leave that. You have to finish it.
How old is your son?
10.
So does he come to you with philosophical or moral or religious, spiritual questions?
No, not yet. Thank goodness. But maybe soon.
Yes.
You say it helped that your husband is Buddhist. But what would you say?
It's not like I don't believe anything, but I'm just not really religious. So
what is it you think you believe in terms of those sorts of issues that are beyond everyday life?
Maybe I believe in souls. If you have a good soul, I think you can be happy. Something like this. I'm always trying to be positive. and I'm always trying to be happy. And I think that makes my children happy and positive as well. That's what I believe. That's my philosophy. And that's maybe that could be said my religion too, just trying to be happy and smile all the time and trying to be nice to people and yeah.
So it's a bit like spreading the good around.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, yes.
Sound a little trite to suggest that being positive or instilling discipline through karate is somehow akin to religion. But in everyday life, ethics, morality, spirituality, which are all aspects of religion, are expressed as ordinary deeds, like plain old good manners or common kindness. And Maki and Miwako's ideas pertain to these everyday manifestations of religion. But what these ideas lack is what many see as the most important element of religious belief, a universal or transcendental truth, a principle that expresses religious identity or purpose. In Australia, the Anzac legend serves this role as a kind of secular religion, and the Christian relationship to God is an immutable truth that certainly transcends everyday socio-political reality. But in Japan, religion is eclectic and non-exclusive, so the Japanese are prone to situational rather than universal morality, picking and choosing religious practices depending on the circumstance, like praying just before an exam. And this partly explains why the rise and fall of new religions is a regular feature in the Japanese religious landscape. Here's Professor Ian Reeder again.
Until comparatively recently, most new religions didn't compete with Shinto and Buddhism in certain areas. So, for example, you could be a member of a new religion, but the new religion would still say, when you die, you go to the Buddhist temple. More recently, we've seen more new religions develop that have tried to separate themselves from those social cultural practices. We would assume that between 10 and 20% of the population of Japan are probably members of a new religious movement. In the last 13 years, the numbers of people joining or being members of new religions has been going down. And that's precisely because in 1995, you had this dreadful incident in Tokyo with the new religion, Aum Shinrikyo, and the subway attack. Ever since then, the image of religions as committed organizations has become much darker. People talk about and new religions as being dangerous, or some do. Actually, we've hardly seen any new religions appear in the last decade and a half, which is quite rare in Japan. But what we're actually seeing is more and more what they call spiritual movements, where people don't become committed to a particular organization, but where there is a kind of great interest in all sorts of spiritual practices. On the television, you often see programs about divination and advice on how to live your lives. And some of the people who do these things, who in an earlier age might have become leaders of religious groups, they very deliberately keep away from establishing religious groups. They tell people, we're not religious, we're just telling you how to live your life and how to pray to your ancestors and so on. And they operate on an individual basis. You don't become members of organizations anymore. It's become a much more individualized process. And of course, with the internet, that's also kind of encouraged this development as well.
Professor Ian Reeder. In an average lifetime, a Japanese person will encounter all the established religions like Shinto, Buddhism, and Christianity, as well as one or two new religions and a few spiritual movements. Buddhist priest Reverend Shigenobu Watanabe explains how this array of choices has shaped Japanese people's attitudes to religion.
That's why they choose the religion by occasion, maybe in Japan. Supermarket type of, you know, religion. If you need this one, and then you use this religion, you know. Maybe a good point is the just accepting everything equally. That's a good point of Japanese tradition.
The Japanese religious landscape might seem complex, but imagine it to be like a big religion supermarket, as the reverend suggests, in which people pick this or that religion depending on their particular needs. That's how even the ancient religion Shinto has developed over time. There are shrines catering to very specific needs in Japan, like this one that Maki remembers from her childhood.
So
it's actually for the ladies and girls. Lots of women from all over Japan go to the shrine if they can't get pregnant. And apparently, if you put your name down on your undies and leave it at the shrine, you get pregnant.
So you write your name on your underpants. Are these clean underpants?
Yes, yes, of course. And also, there was a rumor you can't go to the shrine as a couple because the goddess get jealous, so you break up.
Do you believe this?
No, but, you know, that's interesting about growing up in Japan. There's lots of rumors and old stories, and it's very interesting.
On ABC Radio National, you've been listening to Encounter. Guests this week were Maki Kono, Miwako and Mike Noonan, Mami Mizushima, Reverend Shigenobu Watanabe, Professor Ian Reeder, and Associate Professor Jun Isomae. The sound engineer was David Bates. Special thanks to Pastor Hiromitsu Hidome, David Rutledge, and Jeff Wood. Don't forget to go to the Encounter website at abc.net.au/rn and choose Encounter from the program list. There you'll find a transcript of this program, as well as streaming audio and podcast links, so you can listen to the program at any time. Today's Encounter was called No Religion Please, We're Japanese. I'm Masako Fukui.
The economic downturn hasn't ended Australia's skills shortage. If anything, it shows the need to train a more highly qualified workforce for the future. So why is Victoria tripling fees for TAFE students? And how is this supposed to lift enrolments? Victoria's TAFE experiment. In the National Interest with me, Peter Mayers. Download or stream this program from the Radio National website.